Oh, he's a wonderful Savior to me. Oh, he's a wonderful Savior to me. Oh, I was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Oh, he's a wonderful Savior to me. Wonderful Savior to me. Oh, he's a wonderful Savior to me. Oh, he's a wonderful Savior to me. Oh, I was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. He's a wonderful Savior to me. Oh, he's a wonderful Savior to me. Oh, he's a wonderful Savior to me. Oh, I was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. He's a wonderful Savior to me. Oh, he's a wonderful Savior to me. Oh, he's a wonderful Savior to me. Oh, I was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. He's a wonderful Savior to me. Oh, he's a wonderful Savior to me. Oh, he's a wonderful Savior to me. Oh, I was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. He's a wonderful Savior to me. Oh, he's a wonderful Savior to me. Oh, he's a wonderful Savior to me. Oh, I was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Oh, he's a wonderful Savior to me. Oh, he's a wonderful Savior to me. Oh, he's a wonderful Savior to me. Oh, I was lost in sin, but Jesus. Oh, he's a wonderful Savior to me. Oh, he's a wonderful Savior to me. Oh, he's a wonderful Savior to me. Oh, I was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. He's a wonderful Savior to me. Oh, he's a wonderful Savior to me. Oh, he's a wonderful Savior to me. Oh, I was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Oh, he's a wonderful Savior to me. He's a wonderful Savior to me.
I'll never forget
what you've done for me.
And Jesus, I'll never forget
just how you set me free.
And Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget.
Oh, never.
Oh, and Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. And Jesus, I'll never forget
how you set me free.
Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget
how you brought me out.
Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget.
Oh, no, never.
Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget
what you've done for me.
And Jesus, I'll never forget
how you set me free.
Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget
how you brought me out.
Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget.
Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus.
Glory, 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 glory.
I'm glad to be here tonight. How about y'all? All right. It's good together. In the name of the Lord, with my brothers and sisters. I know some aren't here. Brother Michael Smith and Sister Cindy had to drive up to Springfield today to sign the papers on their house. Hallelujah. That's an answer to prayer. It's good. Hallelujah. And then, of course, Brother Smith, he's in Haiti tonight. He's in Haiti tonight. And doing the work of the Lord. But I'm thankful for y'all. And I really appreciate the services we've been having. We've been having some wonderful services, good moves of the Spirit, blending our spirits together with one another and then with the Lord. Everybody being compacted. I know this has probably not been easy, putting two churches together, but it's been profitable. I feel like it was God's will. There's no one that'll ever convince me that it wasn't God's will, especially when I see what he's done here. And then I appreciate how everybody pulls together for a service. Didn't you appreciate Brother Thompson letting the Lord use them Sunday night and working on Sister Abraham's grandson. Wasn't that Sister Abraham? Wasn't that your grandson? Yeah, I appreciate that. And it's a wonderful thing in God to find a place to work. I know we were all kind of worried when everybody came together, everybody trying to find their place again. It's almost like going to a new church because this church has so much talent, you know. Brother Phil Fisher gets up and he'll just set your bones on fire. He's got Brother Daniels. He'll do the same thing with you. He'll get you up and he'll make you want to run the aisles. And all these other brothers, Brother Tally shouldn't start calling names because I'm going to leave somebody out. Brother McGowan, when he gets up. And then the natural talent you have in singing. Appreciate all the song leaders that we have here and the way they work together, the way everybody just blends their spirit. I appreciate that. And in the way you've accepted us all, you've just opened up your arms and asked us to come in and shown nothing but love to us. That says a lot about your natural growth. And I was just sitting there thinking when Sister Bryant was singing those songs, Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. It's easy to say, but that's hard to do. Over the years, it's hard to it's hard to keep into focus our initial vision. We've been talking a lot. Brother Smith brought up here a couple weeks ago, you know, how can you define, you know. He's been asking us to get up and testify how we came to the body. You know, when did you first get your vision? When did you start to see that this was different from anything else you'd ever been in? And I appreciate those who've got up and worked and labored in that area, because I know that if we're not careful, we'll lose that excitement. We'll lose that appreciation over the years as you work and as you labor and as you settle in. You'll become complacent. I've found myself at times being complacent with what God had given me, because it is a wonderful thing that we have here. I think it's the best thing that we could ever be called to, no matter what your vocation is. I don't care if you're a doctor or a plumber, if you're a used car salesman, or if you're a nurse or a homemaker. The best thing God could ever call you to do would be in the body of Christ, to be a member in particular. And God adds you. That's not something you may have even desired at one time. And it's amazing how God gets people here. I remember when we found the body, my wife and I, we didn't know anything about the body. We thought everything was the body. We'd been taught that the whole religious world was the body. But when we came here, we started feeling something different. And that's how it is when you get around God's people. You ought to feel something a little bit different. When you come into our services, when we first started going to service, it was in Brother Doug York's house. And the first time we went, I knew my wife and I, we'd found something that we'd been serving God for a long time. We both had the Holy Ghost for 13 or 14 years. And so Pentecost was nothing strange to us. But when we came to this, we thought that we didn't even have the Holy Ghost. Not the way y'all have the Holy Ghost. And I know that's y'all's testimony too, that when you came in, there was just such a renewing and a refreshing that... and it didn't matter. It didn't matter what you had to do or where you had to go. You just wanted to continue that feeling. I remember for the first 2 years, we went to a lot of meetings, my wife and I. We went to Fort Worth a lot. And I remember we went to, I think it was Fort Worth, or it may have been the Houston meeting. And it was the first time I'd ever got drunk in the spirit. Y'all remember Brother Corky Tenney? Real big guy, about 6'8", just a big old bear of a guy. And I'd been in the spirit, but I'd never been drunk in the spirit, and I'd been working on that. Brother Smith said, I remember him teaching, he said, you need to work on it, different manifestations of the spirit. Ask God to help you in that area, to get deep and to just get drunk. And I'd been raised up in a Pentecostal church, and when they prayed for people, they'd always fall backwards. Well, but there was somebody there to catch them. I thought, well, if they're really trusting God and that's really God, don't catch them. Let them bounce. It ain't going to hurt nothing. But they were always there to catch them, and they would fall to the floor and they'd get up. And I'd never experienced the Holy Ghost. I'd spoken tongues, but I never experienced the way y'all did. So I was working on it too, just trying to find different ways. But I'm kind of a reserved person, believe it or not. I'm reserved. I'm kind of introverted. I'm the kind of person, like some of y'all, that can sit in a room in a corner and watch what goes on and never participate and not be mad or sad, but just appreciate what's going around. Sometimes you don't even have to be involved in what's going on, just watch it. And so that's how I was. But I went to, I started working on it, and found out one thing that was my problem was I found it was my pride. My pride was keeping me from getting out and worshiping the Lord. And so I went to work on it, and I started dancing almost every service. And I love to dance. Don't you love to dance in the Spirit? It's one thing I love about this church. They're not afraid to get out and pull on the Spirit. They just draw and dance and throw their hands up. And so I went to work on it. And I remember I went to this one service. It was a big service, and they told me all the young men ought to sit down front who felt like maybe they were called to the ministry. So I sat right down front, and the music struck up, and the ministry hadn't stood up yet. I found that out. I found out that when they feel the covering, the ministry would stand up. So I'd stand up with them. That's all I knew. So the ministry hadn't stood up yet, and this old man, he got up, and he started dancing back and forth, and everybody's just watching him. Nobody's doing anything, and pride was down inside, and I thought, look at that old man making a fool of himself right there in front of everybody. And no, we had stood up yet. And he would look at me, and I'd look away real quick. We'd make eye contact, and I'd just look away real quick, and I thought, he's up to something. And I looked back, and he was coming toward me. And it must have been God, because he can't, I mean, the whole front pew, I mean, the church was full. He made a beeline for me. And when he would dance, it looked like he was falling over, because he'd go like this. And then he'd kind of go back like this, like he was something wrong with him. So he came over, and he grabbed my arm. And I thought, I got two choices now. I was 29 years old. I mean, either going to have to wrestle this old man to the ground, which wouldn't have looked pretty, or I'm going to have to get up and make a fool out of myself. So he pulled me up, and then pretty soon there was two of us going back and forth like that in my face. I know it had to be just beat red. Well, pretty soon the ministry stood up. I think they did it to try and help me out. But you talk about being humbled. It humbled me. It embarrassed me is what it did. It did more than humble me. It embarrassed me. And but, you know, I kept working on it, and we tried different things. I remember we tried praying before we got to church, which I think is that's profitable. We'd have little prayer services before church would start, and it was just a wonderful thing when we first came in, trying to find the moving of the Holy Ghost and the way that we would worship God. I remember it was a small church in Brother Doug and Sister Yvonne's house, and pretty much everybody had to worship. They had to get out and do their part. But as the church got bigger, it was easier to let other people pull on the Spirit. And we went through a period like that where we became complacent, and we had to make ourselves get out and worship. But I realized that over the years, as you grow comfortable in God, you know, when you first come in into the body, everything is new and everything is different. You're trying to learn your way around. You're trying to understand the principles and the doctrines. I remember I used to go to Brother Smith's house till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. We'd talk about doctrine. And I'd get home and get up and at 5 or 6 o'clock the next morning and feel refreshed. I felt like Jesus when his disciples came to him. He said, I have food to eat that you know not of. That's how I felt. I felt that God was helping me. And every service was just so exciting to me. But I found that when you're here for a length of time, you start to lose that appreciation from where God brought you from to where you are now. And I've had to work on that in my own life and try to get that renewed and keep it restored, that vision fresh. There was a man, Brother Bill Sutmiller. He used to put his hand on his forehead, and I think he had a wonderful vision. He was the founder of the work there in McAllister. God really used him to do a great work. I think he was a great man in God. And he used to put his hand on his forehead, and he would say, God, give me a vision. Touch my eyes. And I thought, you've already got a vision. And because we came into the body about the same time, and I saw him just leap on ahead because he had such a love for the truth, and he was willing to just work for God and do whatever it took. So after all these years, I still appreciate the body of Christ. I wouldn't trade this. I know some of us have got water under the bridge, and but there's not a time that I don't appreciate God bringing me this way. There's nothing that I could look back on, and we've been through some hard things. My wife and I, like some of y'all, we've been through some things that would even make you question, you know, or maybe even shake you. But even through all those things, God's put an anchor down in our soul. And that takes God time to do. It takes coming. It takes a love for the truth. And then it takes coming to church when you don't even feel like it. Having to make yourself go, that becomes just such a part of your life that even when you don't feel like going, you still go. You make yourself go because you realize that God may meet me there. He may help me with the situation that I'm in. So we've all been through times like that where we've had to make ourselves go. But thank God that we're still here And I appreciate the things that we've gone through. Brother Doug wrote a song one time. It's called I'm so thankful for what he's done to get me here. You know, if we hadn't been through the things that we've been through, this what I've gone through, my wife and I in this move, nothing has worked out the way we thought it would. And probably some of you are the same way in your life too, but I still feel like it was God. I've got no doubt in my mind that God wanted us to move down here. But I told my wife earlier today, I said, through all this, I have a greater appreciation for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I said, I've never, in this sense, I said, I've never heard anybody express it the way I've been expressing it the last 2 years. I've always heard the story used where God delivered them because of their faith. God caused them to go through that. But what God's really quickened to me in these last 2 years, and I know he's done the same thing to y'all, is the first part of the story that's always left untold. And that is when they told the king, we know our God is able to deliver us, but if he doesn't, you know, what if he doesn't deliver us? They had to decide in their mind, are we going to serve God, or are we going to compromise with the king? You know, that's one of the things that God wants. He wants a people that will swear to their own hurt and change not. That is, I told the Lord years ago, I'm going to follow you, Lord. And I said, if you just keep my hand, I'm gonna go wherever you lead me. Where I never thought he would have led me down here. You know, when we were in Texas, I never thought he would have led me to Missouri. And then certainly he never would have led us down here to Arkansas. And there's been times the last 2 years, my wife and I, we've gotten a little discouraged at times, but we've never let go of his hand. He's never let go of ours. And it's all these things that we're going through. And I know everybody's going through something different. Sister Abraham, she's told us some of the things she's going through. And brother and sister Tally, what they're going through. And whether it's a health problem, whether it's a financial problem, whether it's a job problem, whether it's a family problem, it doesn't matter, Sister York, if you move off and leave your family. You know, God knows about all those things too. It's how we respond to those things. It's how we let God keep working in our life that will make us what God wants us to be. And I know that God knows the beginning from the end. But God causes us to go through things so that we can see what's in our life. You know, God already knows how we're going to respond to things. When he puts us in a situation, God knows human character enough. He knows you enough to know how you're going to come out in the end of this thing, but he wants us to see, because he wants us to make changes in our lives. But it's what we do. You know, the term integrity means what you do when, or how you respond, or what you do when nobody is looking, or you think you can get away with something. That's integrity. God wants us to see how much integrity we have. Are we going to serve God when we think nobody is knowing what we're doing? You know, are we going to do the? And it goes everything from that line number 17 on tax 10408 of your income taxes, all the way down to, you know, telling a little white lie, to some of the big things. It's the things that we go through that makes us what we are today. And as we look back, you know, you've heard people say, if I could go back, I would do that over again. It's what you've gone through that's made you what you are today. And the things that we went through, on my personal testimony, when we first came in, we went through hard times. We went through 3 years of severe financial pressure. But I wouldn't take anything for those times right now. If I could go back and do it all over again, I told my wife, I said, those were some of the best times that we ever had, because we learned to trust God. We had to learn to depend upon him and not upon ourselves. We found out that God can be trusted. He can be depended on, and he can be trusted. If I never would have went through those things, I never would have found out that God is able to meet my needs more abundantly according to his riches in heaven. And therefore, I know when God doesn't meet a need in my life, it's because it's the best thing for me. Don't you believe that? Don't you believe that you have a Heavenly Father that loves you more than you can comprehend, that wants our good, and that He will not withhold any good thing from us? That's what the Bible says. So then when we pray for something and it's not answered the way we think it should be, that's God. That's God's mercy. That's God's grace. That's God shedding His grace down upon our life because He wants us saved. God wants us in a position so that we can receive His grace. And sometimes that's not easy. The things, my wife, I know we keep going through it. I keep going back to it, but I can't help it. The things that we've gone through hasn't been easy. But I know in the end, we're going to come forth shining. We're going to take it right. God's helping us, and I know you are too. Some of y'all have been examples to us here in the church, the way you've gone through adversity and trial. And this is one thing that you can bank on, and that is that you're going to be able to help somebody one day with what you've gone through, whatever it is. If you've gone through it the right way, the Bible says this, that we're able to comfort, wherewith we're able to comfort, with the comfort that you're comforted of. And that is when God helps you, when He takes you through something or He helps you through something. And whether He meets that need and causes you to go into the fire or not, you're going to be able to comfort somebody one way or the other. You'll have the testimony that God's able to help. And if God doesn't meet that need, it's because He loves you. And let me tell you my example. Let me tell you what happened to me when I went through that. And I'll tell you the end result of it. And that's faith. That's when you're walking in faith, when you can trust God enough to say, Lord, whether you help me or not, I'm still going to serve you. And that's a big thing to say, isn't it? To trust the Lord with all your heart. It doesn't say with all your mind, because sometimes it doesn't look like trusting God's the right thing to do. You know, sometimes the mind says, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? But your heart, which is the seat of your emotions, which is where the new man is located. If you trust Him with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, the Bible says, and you acknowledge Him in all your ways. I like this part. He will direct your path. Not maybe so, not hope so. He will direct your path. And when you walk in His ways, you just got to say, sometimes I don't understand, Lord, what you're doing in my life, but I'm walking in your ways, and I know you're directing my path, and I'm trusting you, Lord. And faith is taking me down this direction. Faith tells us what direction to go, but trust gets us there. Trust is the mechanism that'll get us there, that'll cause us to keep looking, to keep our eyes fixed upon Him. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful tonight for what I've gone through. It hasn't always been easy, but looking back, I'm so thankful for those things. Because it shows Jesus. Jesus is able to work in our life when we do those things. Brother Doug, would you sing that song? You got those words, don't you? I'm so thankful for what you've done to get me here, and I'm so glad for all the heartaches that I had to turn to you in prayer. You can fake it. But my wife and I were thankful to be here in Little Rock, and we're starting to love y'all. Hope you're starting to love us. I know it's going to take a while before we're fully blended together, but I appreciate God bringing us together. I think it was the best thing that ever could have happened to any of us, and I'm looking forward to long years growing old with y'all, Brother Tally. Some of us are already growing old, but some of us are growing old together. Brother Daniels, Brother Weininger, Brother McGowan, we're just growing older together. Loving God and learning to love and appreciate one another. Hallelujah. So I'm thankful to be here tonight. And wanted to get up and open the service. Hallelujah.
I'm thankful to be here tonight and appreciate what God's done in my life and to keep me where I am today. And because I know many times I wanted to run, but where could you go? And I'm so glad to be in this church and to have this family that I can lean on. And I just appreciate your friendship and the hospitality we feel since we've been here. And I'm just thankful for everything God has done, even though sometimes on the natural side it looks like that maybe he's trying to punish me, but I know through all that he's blessing me. So I just appreciate God and what he's done. I was living out in sin with no chance of eternal life, till he called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. There's such a thankfulness in my heart. I could still be lost out there. He stopped my worldly dreams and ungodly schemes to get me here. And I'm so thankful for what he's done to get me here. I'm so glad for all the hard times I've learned to turn to him in prayer. There's some things I don't understand, but I'm holding to his saving hand, and I'm thankful for what he's done to get me here. Even though he brought me here, my trials have not ceased, but now I have someone to turn to who's promised everlasting peace. If I'll keep leaning on my Savior's love, he'll get my soul prepared. I appreciate what my Lord has done to keep me here. And I'm so thankful for what he's done to get me here. I'm so glad for all the hard times I've learned to turn to him in prayer. There's some things I don't understand, but I'm holding to his saving hand, and I'm thankful for what he's done to get me here. I'm so thankful for what he's done to get me here. I'm so glad for all the hard times I've learned to turn to him in prayer. There's some things I don't understand, but I'm holding to his saving hand, and I'm thankful for what he's done to get me here. Even though he brought me here, My trials have not ceased, but now I have someone to turn to who's promised everlasting peace. If I keep leaning on my Savior's love till he gets my soul prepared, I appreciate what my Lord has done to keep me here. And I'm so thankful for what he's done to get me here. I'm so glad for all the hard times I've learned to turn to him in prayer. There's some things I don't understand, but I'm holding to his saving hand, and I'm thankful for what he's done to get me here. And I'm so thankful for what he's done to get me here. I'm so glad for all the hard times I've learned to turn to him in prayer. There's some things I don't understand, but I'm holding to his saving hand, and I'm thankful for what he's done to get me here.
Thankful also, Brother Doug, that God has brought me here, and I'm still here. That's the good part about it. I'm sure there have been a lot of people brought here, but they're not all still here. So I'm thankful that that God can keep us, and He will keep us if we'll allow him to. That's what I'm trying to put that trust, use that vehicle, Brother Durham, to get us where we need to be in the Lord. Begin to utilize what God has given us. He's given us a lot of good things. Sometimes when you look at where we know the end of the book, what we read about in the end of the book, and see where we are today. Sometimes it, look like, we're crawling, but I'm sure we're going faster than maybe fast enough. Yeah. And I want to be, with God. They say it's just as dark if you get too far ahead of God as it is if you way behind him. So you have to be where the light is. Moving where God is moving. So that's what I want to do is try to search and see God in what's going on. Try to be able to be sensitive enough, because things that are going on, a lot of voices you hear out here, a lot of things you hear going on, but what is God saying? I want to be sensitive enough to be able to hear what God is saying, and be able to not only what he is saying, but what is he saying to me? You get personal I feel uncomfortable when it get personal, but it has to be that way. You know, sometimes it get personal. And you know, like it being a group of people and you see everybody's doing this and that, and you know, but sometimes it, no matter how big the group is, then like Brother Durham said, that brother that was dancing, somehow I felt to pull him out, you know. It was a lot of others there that he could have pulled out, but he pulled him out. So anyway, sometimes it get that way, you know, we going along and you think, you know, nobody cares about me, you know, and what I'm doing, but I know God does care, and he knows about us, and he knows what we need. That's the good part about it, you know. He knows what we need. He knows what's best for each one of us. And sometimes you may say, well, you sure about this, Lord? But he knows what's best. He knows what each one of us has to go through. And everybody is going through something different. And so I understand that. And I do appreciate that about the Lord. He knows what we need, and he can provide what we need. He can give us what we need to help us and be able to go on with him. I was reading in, I guess it's Judges, where Gideon, the angel came to him. You know, Israel was, of course, in bondage in a sense. They was on the rulership of the Midianites, I believe. And they had sinned and, you know, turned from the Lord. And he put them on the oppression on the Midianites. And the angel came to Gideon, was telling, you know, talking to him and letting him know that, you know, that he could save them. He could get them out. You know, he said, you know me? You know, I'm one of the, he mentioned about his family was one of the something, you know. He didn't think too much of his family or the tribe he was from, Manasseh, I think. Anyway, he was kind of putting it down, you know, like, you know, who is my family? Who is my tribe? You know, why? But sometimes, you know, it doesn't have to be your genealogy or whatever, you know, but God is giving us all an opportunity, I think, to be able to serve him. And I want to take advantage. Sometimes I look back and think, well, did I really take advantage of the opportunity that God has given me and did what I should have done? Sometimes you feel like you may have missed it. I remember one time I had the privilege to go to Haiti with Brother Leninger. You know, usually, you know, he's so busy. He was so busy doing things, and we was having church on Sunday night, got out at 10 o'clock, and I don't know how, I can't remember how I came about doing this, but anyway, I went to Haiti with him. But we left Little Rock after church Sunday night, 10 o'clock, drove to Oklahoma City, and of course, in the rush, I forgot my passport. My birth certificate. You didn't have to have a passport then. All you needed was a birth certificate. So anyway, I forgot it and left it at home. And so by the time we got about halfway, maybe, I don't think we was quite halfway, but we was like at Ozark, Arkansas. So I called my wife and told her that I didn't have a cell phone back in those days, so I couldn't just pick up the phone and call. It's amazing how it hadn't been that long ago, but we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have them. Okay, but anyway, I called her and told her I forgot my passport, I don't know how we come up with it. But anyway, Sister Leninger was there, so anyway, she probably said, well, why don't you just have her drop it off at the airport, and they could, you know, fly to Oklahoma City, because our flight was leaving at 11 o'clock the next morning. And we had already driven, you know, over 100 miles down the road, so we weren't going to turn around and come back, because we had to get there. So anyway, it was his lifestyle was so hectic, because she made phone calls. So we went on, we got to Oklahoma City. It was like 4 o'clock in the morning, and got to their place and took a little nap, and I woke up and smelled bacon. Sister Leninger was cooking bacon. There was a couple there, had driven from California to talk to Brother Leninger, and they were having problems, and anyway, he was counseling with these people, you know, Monday morning, and the cylindrical was fixing breakfast, and of course we had to leave at 11. Brother from Albuquerque, Brother Williams, and his wife had driven from Albuquerque to meet Brother Lineker because he was going to Haiti too. So anyway, all this was going on. I mean, it just seemed like so much going on, you know. And anyway, we're getting breakfast and getting ready and all that, and I can't remember, head to the airport, and then of course my wife had taken that birth certificate to the airport, and they flew it, and we was in line to get our tickets, you know, get tickets, I guess, because we didn't have them. But anyway, get tickets, and the airline that brought the birth certificate was a different airline that we was flying out of. So that was another part of the airport, another part of the terminal. So anyway, it was just so hectic. I couldn't believe how hectic it was. But anyway, we couldn't connected all the dots, got the birth certificate, we got on the plane on time, we left, went to Haiti, went to Miami, I believe, somewhere. But anyway, I just remember Brother Lineker having this time. I had a little time with him. I can't remember, I've been on the way back. But anyway, we flew into Miami. He rented this car. We had a 5-hour layover. That's, you know, the way he does. We had this 5-hour layover, so he rented a car, and we went to some little island out here far off of Miami. He wanted to eat some seafood. And I was thinking, I said, here I got this time with Brother Lineker, and I can't think of hardly anything to talk to him about. You know, questions. You know how it is, you get out. You have, you know, I never had that, you know, that kind of time with Brother Lineker. You know, he'd been in our church a long time. And, you know, he ministered, I'd hear him and write down notes and take notes, and I asked, write a question in, and he answered a question. But here I was traveling with him, and I had all this time. And I was just thinking, can't think of hardly anything. How did I ask him, you know? You know, but anyway, it was amazing. I mean, it was amazing. But I did, though. I got a little, a bit of an understanding about, I was having a problem. Yeah, I was trying to dedicate my life, and my family had a family reunion every year. July, my dad's birthday is July the 4th, so we always we met at his house July the 4th, you know, the family did, and I was trying to put God first, and I did talk to him about that, and whether, you know, Brother Lineker, you know, should I just forget, you know, put my family down, not go to these family reunion they're having, and not and you know, it never did really hard a conflict with any of the meeting. One time it did. It conflicted with a meeting in Wichita one time around the 4th of July, and I tried to put the Lord first. I went to the Wichita meeting, and I was going to try to make part of that family reunion. And we was in Wichita, and we stayed for practically the whole meeting. It was over Sunday morning, so we left. We didn't stay for the Sunday day service. We left Sunday morning, and I was going to try to make it to part of it. And we drove, got a ticket. I was driving across. Don't ever try to do that. But here I was in southern Kansas, I guess, Missouri. That's what it was, on Highway 71. And I was trying to cut across northern Arkansas. You don't do that, okay? You don't do that. Anyway, trying to cut across northern, it's no good way. Because my wife threatened. She said, why don't you just go back to Little Rock? I knew if I'd have got to Little Rock, she wasn't going to go up there with me to my She was going to stay here. But anyway, I said, no, I'm not going through Little Rock. I'm cutting across North Arkansas. I hit Highway 62, 63, went through Jonesboro. And when I did all of this, I got to, we didn't make it to Jonesboro like 10 o'clock that night. I mean, we got up to 7 o'clock morning, Wichita, driving across, trying to make it to a family reunion. I tell you, that was the most frustrating. I got a speeding ticket in Missouri. And I thought, this is funny. I'm trying to put the Lord first. You know, I went to the meeting. And here I'm trying to just get just a little bit of my family in on the end of it. When I got there, it was all gone. All gone. I didn't get there until Monday morning. See, this was like Sunday. I got to Jonesboro. We, it was so late, 10 o'clock at night, Jonesboro. I just spent the night. We just got a motel. Spent the night. Got up that morning, drove on to my mother. She, of course, she was home. She lived there. So anyway, she was there, but all my brothers, they were all gone. I thought, that's not good. But anyway, but he helped me, though, do that, to try to balance. You know, this is, there's a balancing with serving God. And I know we all want to try to put God first, and that was my aim, is to try to put God first. I still do that even today. I still gather with him once a year, you know, have a little family reunion. I don't put as much pressure on myself as I used to, but anyway, I was really putting that pressure on myself to put God first and put them second. I still think that way, but I try to balance it, and that's what Brother Linegar taught. That, you know, he taught a balance, and I think sometimes you may have, you know, it may go more the other way, you know, on some things, depending on what it is, but I believe you can find in the Lord a balance, and try to work with your family as much as you can. And try to do God's will. You know, of course, along with all that, you need, you know, have to pray and be sure, you know, we're praying to God, because God can change some of that. And I believe ultimately, like the disciples, you know, we're not maybe at the time when the restoration of the church is taking place totally. You know, it is being restored, but I mean, at the time that, you know, like the early church. But anyway, where they did, you know, put the families back behind them, you know, they followed Jesus and left the families at home. So anyway, and that's going to happen. I believe that's going to happen, and I'm looking forward to it, you know, where we can totally give our lives to the Lord and live for him and put all others second or whatever, you know, but God first. And that's what we're striving to do. And I appreciate a place that even teach that. I was in a church, and those kind of teachings that weren't even mentioned, you know, as far as that kind of dedication, you know, that's taught among this people, you know, how we to dedicate our lives to a degree that that we are putting the Lord first. And I believe that's our ultimate goal, is to put Jesus first in our lives. And that's what I'm striving for. Brother Durham want me also to go ahead and call prayer, right? And take up an offering. So anyway, we're going to do that. But I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate what's going on. And I just like Sunday night, appreciate Brother Paul. I hope you don't feel bad, I keep mentioning that. But anyway, it was a blessing Sunday night to see him, let the Lord use him, you know, and that way he did, and it just helped me to see that this is the work of God, and we're trying to work for the Lord, trying to see what he had, you know, even a service like tonight, you know, you come out and maybe there's not many people here as it normally is, but we're here on business for the King. You know, we're in God's house. We're here. We have met here tonight to do whatever business God would have us to do. And this service tonight, and to reach out, you know, our hearts, you know, like he said, this is the message that we teach and take part of is a heartfelt message. You know, this is to deal with our heart. This is what we do, is to get us to work, you know, put our heart in what we're doing. it's when you can do that, it's so much better when you can work for God better if your heart's in it. You know, if you really putting your heart in what you're doing, you know, believing and putting yourself on the line. I mentioned this story Brother Tucker told one time about the guy that was, you know, pushing people across the ravine or whatever it was on a wheelbarrow, you know, tightrope with a wheelbarrow, pushing it across, and you know, he was getting people to want to get people to get in the wheelbarrow and push him across, and they was asking people, do they believe, you know, that he can do it, you know. Do you believe I can push you across this tightrope in a wheelbarrow? And, you know, different ones, oh, yeah, I believe you can do that. I believe you can. Then he asked, you know, he said, okay, if you believe I can do that, why don't you just, you know, get in the wheelbarrow? So that's what the Lord, you know, he wants us to get in the wheelbarrow because, you know, if we want to, and that really, that ultimately, that's how we really test our faith in God and whether we really believe it or not, you know. We have to put our life on the line. That's what I'm saying. You have to put your life on the line. So, Lord, help me, you know. Touch my life. Let me have this trust in my heart to trust you in all things. So anyway, we're going to pray tonight and pray for God's people. And I see Brother McGowan. It's good to see him. But I can tell he's hurting. So let's remember him. I don't know if he didn't mention, though. He might still have some tests to do in the future. But right now, he's just kind of letting God help him. And Sister Brian. Sister Crow, right. Okay. All right. Okay. Donovan and Sister Karen. Okay. Remember those needs tonight. Same. Okay. Remember Sister Wilkins, Sister Crow, Sister Oates. Okay. Remember those requests. All right, pray for that, Sister Abraham. All right, Brother Stewart. Oh. All right, remember Brother and Sister Wallace, Brother Fisher. Okay. All right, just remember Sister Elisha Weaver, Brother Key. All right. All right. Remember, Brother and Sister Dodson, unspoken request. I know Brother Mike mentioned Sister Lou Allen. I don't know if you talked to her, but she is doing better. Okay. Remember, pray for her. Yes, sir. He's sick. Ethan, okay. Remember Ethan tonight. Pray for him. All right. Any other requests? It's Rashana. We'll pray for Sister Rashana tonight. Let's see Osmond Eaton. All right. Remember, yes. All right. What's she going to do? Okay. All right. Okay. Remember? Oh. Aunt Susie. Okay. She's going to be. What's her age, sister? How old is she going to be, sister? How old is she going to be? 82. Okay. All right. All right. Any other requests? Pray for Brother Smith in Haiti. Pray that God will keep his hand on him and just think of the people over there and no telling. Like sister, who was that sister? Goforth talking about reports. Will. Look forward to hearing the reports that he'll give us about that over there. So just remember them. pray that God, y'all want to come on up, brother. The ushers, if y'all want to come on up. We'll go ahead and stand and take these requests to the Lord. Pray that God will help his people and the needs that we have among us. Father in heaven, we thank you, O God, this night, Lord, your blessings. Lord, we ask that you help your people and the needs mentioned. These requests, O Lord, that's been mentioned tonight, even the unspoken requests, Lord, that you help each one. Lord, be with Brother Sister. All of Haiti, Dominican, keep your hand upon them, Lord. Bless them, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. Help them. Give them. Lord, keep their hand. Jesus, Jesus. Sister Crow. Sister Williams. Lord, help them. Help them, Lord. Lord, keep touching them. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Merciful God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus.